welcome to Even More Mashed Up, a brand new podcast.
Yeah, because sometimes people can't get enough of the mashup, so they need...
Never get enough of the mashup.
I hear that a lot. I don't know about you.
It's usually me saying it, I think.
Well, that's true. So, well, you can hear yourself.
I can.
Right.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm Alan.
I am Patrick.
And we are the co-hosts.
Co-hosts.
Of
yes.
both the mashup,
yes.
our weekly radio show, 2 to 3, cougarradio.net. It is a radio show, right? Even if it's not on a radio station. Still technically a radio program. Yeah, absolutely.
Radio program.
So anyway, that's cougarradio.net, 2 to 3 every Monday.
That's right.
And?
And?
What we're doing now. I thought you might want to talk about that a little bit, like
so
just working on the segue.
Because the radio show has been so successful.
It's massively successful.
Massively successful. Yeah. The
nationwide.
Most successful show on cougarradio.net.
Sadly, yes.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Ouch, Dan.
That
really?
Kinda, that was kind of hard. That's also Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
Who's running the board and also belittling us.
And probably our number one fan.
Probably
yeah, so.
Number two.
I'll just say,
oh, Richard may be number one.
I think Richard may be number one.
Yeah. And we've actually got Taryn back from out of state, right?
No, I'm in New York. I'm in Harrisburg.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was coming from out of state because that sounded more impressive.
Yeah, out of the county?
Out of the county.
Is that from
out of the local county. The local area.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. All right.
So, but yes, do you want to tell them a little bit about yourself?
Do I?
Yes.
Sure, yeah. I'm a history professor here at Misericordia University. I work in pop culture and 20th century American history. And did I mention I co-host a radio program called The Mashup?
Yeah. You also co-host a podcast.
Well, yes, we do now. Yeah. And you want to introduce yourself quickly, Patrick?
I am Patrick Hamilton. I'm a professor in English.
It's nice to meet you, Patrick.
At University. I also specialize in popular culture and race, and also just generally kind of American literature and culture from World War II to the present.
So the subtitle of the program might be something like Two Old Guys Talking About Pop Culture.
Pretty much.
All right. So we understand.
Though one of us is significantly older than the other.
It's true, but one of us looks much younger, so there's kind of
You're
a balance.
Right, I do.
There's a balance.
You're
yeah.
right,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, nothing says youthful like
yes.
bald. Yep.
So what's the plan for today?
What is the plan for today? Well, I thought what we might do is build on the program from yesterday,
yes.
because everybody who was listening was kind of left with a cliffhanger, right?
Yes.
We were talking about sort of our level of excitement for the superhero television season
yes,
that is forthcoming.
Both Alan and I being... huge superhero comic fans.
It may be that we
way back in the day
we spend too much time with superheroes.
There's no such thing.
Always have. Well, that's a matter of perspective. But so anyway, on the program yesterday, we started to kind of make a list 1 through 6. What show are you most excited about coming back?
Yes.
Through which show are you least excited about coming back?
Yes.
And since not everybody maybe listened to the radio show,
possibly.
Maybe we should recap those lists very quickly.
Yes.
There are some similarities, but there were some differences.
Yes.
All right. So what was your number one?
My number one of the superhero shows that I am most looking forward to.
Sort of the most. This
is. Drum roll.
I'm not sure that's going to sound good on the mic.
Is Supergirl.
Supergirl.
Yes.
All right. I actually had Supergirl at number 2.
Okay. So, you know, it's doing well on both our lists.
Well, let me say, I had Supergirl at number 2 and I've never watched
Supergirl. No,
I think that says more about kind of the
You didn't watch any of it last
year? That's not true. I watched the first episode.
Okay, I was going to say, you didn't manage to watch any
But again, as I mentioned on the radio, last year was my year of going without cable.
Yes.
There was no cable in the house, and CBS wouldn't allow Hulu to share Supergirl.
Yes.
So I didn't get to watch Supergirl beyond episode number 1.
I believe that was the point where I pointed out the episodes that became free on CBS the week after they aired.
Yeah, but then that required a certain level of computer skill that was beyond.
You mean typing in www.cbs.com? And clicking on links.
The .com thing is complicated.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway.
That threw you off.
So anyway, okay. Supergirl's number 2 on my list, which I think is kind of a depressing commentary on how unexcited I am.
Really?
About the forthcoming superhero
Oh,
stuff.
Wow.
I'm like, as a fan, I'm kind of disappointed. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we can get to that. Yeah.
I actually had Arrow at number 1.
Yeah,
only
see.
Because Arrow has a very soft spot in my heart. Like,
yeah.
You're going to hate me when I say this, because every time I make the comparison, you get mad.
Oh, Lord.
But there was a moment in Arrow when it was the Melrose Place of superhero television.
When was that?
And we all know that Melrose Place was maybe, for about a year and a half, the greatest show ever on television.
No, we don't. We don't all know and or agree.
American culture and life.
I'm not sure it
yeah,
was
anyway,
intentionally
it was,
a satire on American life.
Oh, I think they had, well, intentional or not,
mm-hmm.
it was the most beautiful satire I've ever seen
okay.
on American life. And Arrow reached that about the time that Ra's al Ghul stabbed him through the heart.
You think so?
Yeah, like this high point of kind of like superhero a soap opera, which I have to say, like, I really, really love.
Okay.
But last year was not good. So I'm forcing my excitement for Arrow because the rest of the list is pretty blah.
Yeah, see, I had Arrow's down towards the bottom because at this point it's in its fifth season.
It's
Arrow is what Arrow is. I don't see
a lot of change. Now, they are saying that this season is supposed to be the last ones with the flashbacks,
yeah,
which would be kind of a pretty significant change to the structure of the show.
They've hung on to the flashbacks too long.
They have.
As far as I'm concerned.
But it also makes me wonder if, I'm kind of wondering if it's like, okay, so are they going to what are they going to do going forward? Or are they kind of thinking this is the last season?
Ooh, maybe
of
flash forwards.
That doesn't work so well.
All right.
No.
So I had Arrow and then Supergirl, and then third was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was my number two.
Because I'm kind of intrigued by Ghost Rider.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Ghost Rider is sort of starting to become what it should have been from the get-go.
Maybe, but that's why it's not higher on my list, because I don't think it knows what it is.
Well, that's the thing. It hasn't known what it is.
We're several seasons in, and it feels like Agents is still struggling to figure out what the show is that they're doing.
I mean, it's still, that's why I like the Ghost Rider inclusion, because up until now, it seems to have been kind of dancing around the fringes of the Marvel Universe. And now with Ghost Rider, it feels like it's sort of jumping into the deep end of it.
I get the sense people aren't taking us totally seriously on the Facebook. You know, people are hiding.
Oh, I did not realize that. Okay.
Somebody needs attention.
Kind of random. Yes, yeah. And it's not one of us.
Which is
odd.
Odd for our show.
It's usually one of us.
That would work better if the podcast were going to be video, too.
Yes.
People won't know that Mike is just performing behind us.
Doing a really weird sort of creepy thing.
Just to entertain Richard and his dimble.
Apparently they gimbal. It's a gimbal.
It's not a dimble.
Yeah, no, we need to fix that.
Fair enough.
So I feel like.
So are we still on a list, or have you know?
No, we're still on a list.
We've gotten the dimble taken over the show.
We've gotten to number two.
Okay, good. No, I was on number three. I was at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is my number two.
Okay, then my next in the list is Flash.
Yeah. See, Flash. Well, see, my number three is Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ahead of Flash.
What?
So Legends of Tomorrow is ahead of Flash.
Yes.
I'm proud of you. I think that's a big step forward for you.
Well, it's just
you've been kind of a Flash apologist.
I have been. And I feel like part of my problem is that Flash, kind of like Arrow, seems like it is what it is at this point.
Right.
You know, Flash.
Which is bad.
Which I wouldn't say bad, but they feel like they're. Again, we have Flash apparently is going to be dealing with another evil speedster in the form of Savitar.
Is there going to be time travel involved?
Oh, yeah, there's clearly going to be time travel involved.
Really? What a surprise.
Yes, in it's Flashpoint.
It's a twist.
Yes, it's a twist in that they've done it for
stinking time.
They didn't really do it the first season too much.
Fair enough.
The second season was very time travel-y and alternate dimension-y and all that. And also, you know, I sort of came around at the end of season two to the fact that Barry is kind of an awful person.
He's worse than an awful person. When we get to talking about the shows, I want to talk about how I think he's the worst person.
Yeah,
you know, in the DC,
in some
TV
ways,
universe.
Yeah, he's.
So you'd rather have a world ruled by Zoom.
Yeah. So Legends of Tomorrow third, Flash fourth.
Then I've got Legends.
I've got Arrow
fifth. Yeah, and then so that means we both have it number six.
We both have number six.
Gotham.
Yes.
But let me say, as I was making this list, what I realized was, I'm so disappointed in the current state of superhero television that I think Gotham I look forward to more than anything else because you know it's going to be god-awful.
Yes.
It's going to be terrible.
Yes.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Yes. And it's going to be ridiculously terrible.
Yes, and terribly ridiculous.
And terribly ridiculous.
It works on almost every level and many more.
Yeah.
So there's the list, and there's actually more agreement than I thought we would have.
A little bit. I don't think. Yeah, we're not as. I think the one thing that yesterday when we were talking about the show, you seemed particularly shocked at my high ranking for Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, you want to start with Legends and talk a little bit about
that?
Sure. Because
why not?
I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask you.
Oh, excellent.
Especially given kind of your relatively high ranking.
Yes.
So you're excited for the return of Jonah Hex?
No.
Okay.
That's not.
You're excited for the return of Captain Cold?
A little bit.
Really? Because he's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You're really excited about Vixen and Obsidian and Stargirl and Dr. Midnight? Wait, stop. Answer the question.
Okay.
You're excited.
Not really.
Nate Haywood? You're excited?
Commander Steele.
Yeah, the grandson of Commander Steele?
Yeah.
He is a historian, slightly exciting, but no, not excited. Cool. Are you excited for the Legion of Doom?
A little bit.
Really? So you're excited to have Damian Dark back?
No.
Because I know you really...
Not
and
Damian
Malcolm
Dark.
Merlin?
No.
The Reverse Flash?
No.
Okay, so we've just gone through...
No, you left someone out.
Who did I leave out?
You left out Black Siren.
Black Siren. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Seriously. Okay. So now you've revealed yourself as a terrible sexist, number one.
No.
And number two.
I'm just glad to see Katie Cassidy continuing to get work on the show.
You ranked Legends of Tomorrow third?
Yes.
Okay. And we've just gone through all of the stuff that's coming this season?
You're
not excited about any of it.
But my view...
I just want to make the case clear. You're not excited about any of the individual components.
Correct.
But it's in the top of your list.
Yes.
Explain.
Because I'm sort of taking it's clearly
ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. You're just kind of looking at it a very granular sort of perspective. I'm looking at it sort of more
granular.
Granular, yes.
Yeah. But don't the granules make up the big picture?
No, it's like a Roy Lichtenstein. It's greater than the sum of its parts.
I don't think it is. I think it's less than the sum
of its
parts.
I think part of my excitement of the show is that the producers in interviews have said that they've kind of learned from the mistakes of season
You've
one.
You've got to be kidding
me. They kind of recognize
got to be
that
kidding
season
me.
One. So I, at least in terms of excitement, because I think there's more potential in a show like Legends of Tomorrow to change than, say, a Flash, Arrow, or a Gotham.
Okay, but wait. Don't all the producers say this every year?
No.
Yes, Gotham every year. All right, we got it figured out.
No, Gotham never says that.
Oh, they think they've got it figured out?
No. The guy in Gotham says superheroes can't work on TV. And then he has to backtrack that the week before the premiere.
Well, that is actually true.
Yes.
For Gotham.
That is
so,
true.
But again, to recap Legends of Tomorrow then, you're not excited about any of the characters that are going to be on the show, but you're excited about the show.
No, I'm also excited about the characters that are not on the show.
So getting rid of the Hawk people?
The Hawk people, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because, well...
If you don't have the CGI to do it,
Hawk Girl
don't do it.
Was fairly tolerable.
No, she wasn't.
But Hawk Man, just he was
just
written...
last week. I was a barista.
Yes,
like if she said last week I was a barista one more time,
I know, that was your
I would have put my
and
fist
now I'm a Hawk
through
goddess.
My brand new television. Yeah.
Well, you know that happened.
Last week I was just a barista.
Yes, I know.
Oh man,
know. Yes,
terrible television.
But yeah, no, Hawk Man. I just found really like the character was written really woodenly, and the actor was really wooden. And
is distinguished from all the other characters on the show.
Yes, much worse.
Really?
But yeah, so I'm glad they kind of got rid of the Hawk people because they were so flat and they were the center of the series.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's, so they got rid of the part of the show that I found most troublesome. They seem to have recognized, like the producer said, that they kind of screwed up in that they revealed their villain day one and there was kind of nowhere to go. So I feel like they've at least got some recognition of the flaws of the show.
Damian Dark will fix that. Because he was a really right. You hate Arrow largely because of Damian Dark. Now you're excited about Legends because they're importing Damian Dark.
Where did I say I hate Arrow?
He's at the bottom of your list.
But I didn't say it's because I hate Arrow. It's because Arrow is what Arrow is at this point.
And that's what you kind of hoping Legends achieves. It's kind of an Arrow is what it is kind of level.
No, I would just like Legends of Tomorrow to be better than it was.
Happy peak superhero television, everybody.
Okay, you are twisting my words. In a way that is fundamentally
isn't
unfair.
That how this program's supposed to work?
No, it is not.
That's what we always did to each other was we twisted each other's words.
No, that is not what we do to each other. That is what someone does to
the
other.
Now here comes the twisting back. Well played,
that
sir.
That is what someone
well
does
played.
To someone else.
Well played.
Yes, thank you.
Are we done with Legends of Tomorrow?
Possibly, unless you have anything more you'd like to say about it.
I got nothing to say. How are we doing on time? Anybody paying attention?
You're about 13 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, we have 13 minutes left?
No, we're at 13. You understand what at means? It means we're at there, not what we have left. I didn't understand the confusion there.
Well, there was a lot of noise back there. Like 3 or 4 people answered. And a lot of big hair metal concerts in the past means that the hearing's not quite as sharp as it used to be.
Be older. Could you please try to be older? I don't have my hearing. Let me get my cone in my ear.
Now you're just baiting me.
I know.
Like talking about hair next, right?
Yeah.
I don't have my hair.
It's nice to know 13 minutes in is how long we can go before we turn on each other.
It just
insults.
The most vile
Welcome to
personal
Even More
insults.
Mashed Up, the insult comedy show that also talks about pop culture occasionally.
Well, every once in a while.
Yeah, for about 10 minutes and then we give up.
The good news is we must be at like 14 and a half minutes at this point, we know how to fill time.
Now that means we don't have 13:50 left. I just want to make clear, time is not going backwards.
See, I need a clock that counts down, but then I would read it like a soccer clock. Yeah. It was counting. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So what do we want? Talked about kind of Legends of Tomorrow.
It's going to be a disaster. We agree.
No, we don't agree on that.
Oh, okay.
I believe
on we go.
I will say there is the potential for it to be a disaster.
That seems
But cool. I feel, but the point of the list was sort of the show is based on our excitement and potential. I feel there's more potential for Legends of Tomorrow to change.
So you're talking
Flash
about potential.
Or Arrow or Gotham.
I think that's fair. That is a fair conclusion.
So do you want to trash Barry now?
Yeah, you want to move to Flash next?
Yeah, we might as well move to Flash, yeah.
I don't understand the critical acclaim for Flash. I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand why people like the show. I don't understand what they think they're getting out of the show. And Barry Allen is the worst human being.
I think in some way.
Like he's literally screwed up everybody else's lives.
Oh, he has, yes.
So he can have his mommy back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
well,
pretty
I feel
despicable.
Like that's. Well, and particularly if you look at the trailer, like the moment when the villain you've got trapped in a cage
is pointing out, you know, how kind of around the bend you've gone towards villainy. Yeah. I think perhaps your main heroic character has kind of gone into the weeds a little bit.
And you know what that means we get to do? We get to watch Barry and Iris build a relationship again.
I know, like, you're so excited.
It's just
about,
so
considering your excitement about Earth 2, the Earth 2 episode from last season.
Earth 2 is different.
Yes.
What?
You must be so excited about Flashpoint this season. Because, he doesn't know Barry.
The same thing over and over
and look, she doesn't know who Barry is. And she knew who Barry was.
Yes. Yeah, and when Barry from Earth 1 shows up on Earth 2 and he kidnaps Barry, he then makes out with Earth 2 Barry's wife, which I think is not right.
It's a little wrong.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of the many wrongs of Barry.
It's a show morally flawed.
Yeah. So, so I've come around to sort of your way of seeing it, is that I think season one.
Whoa, could you say that again?
Oh, jeez. No,
I have never heard that before.
I cannot say that
again. Did the gimbal get it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
No, that's
good.
Whatever.
You're done?
I'm just drinking my coffee.
You're quitting?
I needed a moment to collect myself.
So we're at 16 minutes and now you've quit.
Yes. I have finished. I mean, again, I think kind of like season one of Flash, in some ways very similar to Supergirl, kind of came in as sort of a breath of fresh air from Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Fair.
And then, like Arrow in particular, it kind of got locked into a particular form, particularly in that Barry is always fighting evil speedsters or evil versions of himself.
But there's so much time travel, right?
When
they
a lot more time
fix
travel.
The Flashpoint thing, right, and they go back to something like the original
which is inevitably going to happen.
Here's my question.
Yes.
What is it? Like, I don't know at this point, like, what the original continuity is. Like, there's been so much time travel back and forth.
No,
it's just a mess.
Original continuity is that Harrison Wells caused the accelerator explosion and gave Barry Flash powers.
Right.
And, you know.
And then a bunch of other stuff happened
and then
keep straight.
I can keep it totally straight.
I liked your comparison of Flash to Arrow because I think.
Thank you. Also, something never, ever, ever said.
Yeah, because we haven't talked about Flash in this context.
Yeah, or, you know.
Yeah, but anyway.
Complimented me.
I think what they're doing in playing with the timeline is kind of just speeding up what Arrow is doing, right? Arrow has reached a point for me. It's like most infamously like when the Fonz jumps the shark. Or when you bring a like the Bundys adopt a kid,
I'm tired of the jump the shark one. So
that's why
the cousin Oliver,
right? The cousin Oliver who shows up, like when the little kid shows up to kind of like shake up the sitcom.
Right. Well, because your original little kid's gotten too old to be cute anymore,
right?
So
right.
You need a new cute little kid.
Well, what you realize is, well, there was never a cute little kid on Married with Children, though, right? They just dropped a kid in there.
There was the kid.
Don't
Bundy.
Talk about Kelly.
No,
Bud was
not
a cute kid. No,
he was sort of had a.
There was nothing adorable or cute about Bud.
No, there's nothing adorable or cute about that family. So,
that was the point.
Yeah.
And yet, when they ran out of ideas, what did they do?
Oh yeah,
they kind of like had to play with like the basic premise of the show.
Right,
and that's kind of where Arrow's at. Right, it's a show that became about sort of the Oliver Felicity relationship.
Right,
but they feel like they've fallen into the Friends trap. Right, the show's about Ross and Rachel.
Right,
so you can never have them fully get together.
Right,
because if you do, then the writers, I think, wrongly think that the show's over, and that's where we are. Like this constant kind of forcing of Oliver and Felicity together and apart, and together and apart.
Like
in ways that don't feel authentic anymore.
Well,
right?
And you've also got the fact that they're bringing in like a new team, Arrow. Like all the old people have left, and so they're bringing in the Curtis Holt character is basically going to become Mr. Terrific.
Right.
The character, I can't remember the actress's name, but she was pretending to be Black Canary, is now going to become Artemis and has some kind of archery skill, which seems to kind of come out of nowhere.
Right.
And then they're bringing in Wild Dog, who's, you know, was an obscure, like, comic at DC think, like, the 80s or 90s.
So as much as I love Arrow, and as much as I think at its peak Arrow was the best of the current crop of superhero television – like, it's clearly on the decline. Like, they've run out of ideas, and it feels forced.
They have. Well, and particularly since, you know, their big idea for sort of rejuvenating the show is they're kind of hinting that they might bring the Deathstroke character back.
Yeah.
Which, again, brings us back to, like, season one and two. And it's kind of you know, we've kind of been there.
Like, it might be that Arrow's done. And I really hate to say that because, again, like, it's near the top of my list. But I just...
Yeah. I feel like Arrow is going to be what it is. I mean, again, you know, they're bringing in the new team. But you know, inevitably, over the course of the season, all the old team is going to come back.
Right.
You know, you can see that it's kind of going through, you know, and Arrow has kind of felt somewhat, I guess, pedestrian in that sense lately.
To me, the word I would use that I wrote down before the show was entropic.
Yeah.
Right?
Fancy.
Thank you. Well, like, we are academic, so occasionally we ought to pretend like we're smarter than we are, probably.
I'm pretty sure we covered that with the couple minutes of insulting each other.
Fair point. But, like, it's this slow heat death where they've run out of ideas and there's just this diffusing of creative talent.
Which is too
bad. Until eventually the show will just kind of naturally come to a
halt. Which is too bad, because one of the things I really do appreciate about Arrow is Stephen Amell's, like, great enthusiasm for playing the character and kind of the cast in general. Like, there's a great enthusiasm for being Arrow and kind of what Arrow is trying to do. I really do like that. Like, it does seem like Amell and the other actors do enjoy themselves.
Agreed. But if they're not given material.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the show, in a different way than Flash, is kind of stuck in a rut.
Well, it feels to me like what they did was they pitched Arrow and there was a narrative arc to it, right?
Right.
And then they completed that narrative arc, and, like, they don't know what to do next.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're trying to kind of, like, reconnect back and repeat it in
and
ways
it,
that
yeah.
are...
Which, again, like, is very entropic, in the sense that it's kind of starting to feed on itself, because there's constant kind of diminishing return.
Which is too bad, because the idea of Oliver and Felicity as a couple and superheroes could have opened, like, a brand new door to, like, four more seasons of newer ideas as opposed to the rehashing.
Yeah.
That we're currently getting.
Now, one of the things that I didn't mention about Supergirl that I thought you might find interesting.
Yeah, well, so let's move to Supergirl.
Yeah. Is one of the things that they're planning to do is sort of use Supergirl to sort of tackle social justice issues.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a whole kind of immigration/refugee theme. They're bringing in Maggie Sawyer and are going to try to deal with sort of LGBTQ themes.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be kind of one of the producer's sort of big angle on this season, is sort of trying to deal with these social justice issues.
Right. Yeah. I think it's interesting.
Which I thought would have you more excited about Supergirl.
Yeah, well, Supergirl's on top of my list or near the top, in part because I have a 14-year-old daughter.
Ah.
You know, and there was sort of a feminist
That's another thing that I really like.
Slant to the work.
Did everyone just leave the room?
Yeah, everybody's left. I think that they have decided the show is...
Talk about entropy.
More or less cooked, yeah. So are you keeping track of time? Cause,
not at all.
All right, I have no idea, but it's, you know, that's the time anyway. Yeah. Yeah, so that part of Supergirl intrigues me and gets me excited about the season.
Yeah.
The idea that they're going to connect Supergirl more closely to Arrow and Flash.
That'll be interesting.
And Legends worries me a
little bit. Well, they're planning to do like a big four-part crossover,
which will be
interesting.
It seems to me that one of the things that made Supergirl more exciting was it didn't feel like a CW show.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, like, that's one of the big questions is how will it being on the CW kind of change it from season one?
And that was my question to you. Like, what do you expect? The show lost a lot of viewership over the course of its first season. So, like, what does it mean that it's on?
Yeah. Well, and again, the other concern is that for a show that was so much about kind of female empowerment, had this very strong theme, the fact that they're bringing Superman in season two also seems a little, potentially to take away from that.
That was actually my next question. Like, are you looking forward to Superman arriving?
I'm intrigued. I mean, I liked the way they dealt with Superman last season, which was kind of off-screen.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
You know, and not, you know, I think he appeared towards the end in kind of a distant way. And that I liked. Like, I kind of liked that Supergirl was kind of on her own.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm curious to see how it's tricky when you bring Superman into a show called Supergirl.
Yeah.
How do you avoid kind of having him take over?
Right. And if he does, then that's kind
of. And then it kind
of
takes away
from
that. Yeah. Like, how is he coming in? Is he coming in because Supergirl needs his help? Because that's.
Right. Like,
not really going to work.
If that's the route you go, you end up with a show that I have no enthusiasm for whatsoever.
Though,
you know,
the
like
one
whatever enthusiasm it generated.
One of the things that I do like about Supergirl.
People packing up and leaving, by the way. Literally leaving the entire studio at this point.
Yeah, so. I'm not even sure we're still going at this point.
We may be recording, we may not.
We may not,
okay, good. We're still.
But one of the things that's kind of interesting is, I think I totally lost my point there.
Superman arriving?
Yeah, Superman arriving, Supergirl... Yeah. Nope. Totally lost it with the people leaving.
Considering
I completely
that
lost.
There's like nobody here.
Yeah.
They're a surprisingly distracting bunch.
Yeah. No. I completely lost.
All right, so we've got Arrow, we've talked Flash, we've talked Legends, and we've talked Supergirl. That leaves two shows to talk.
Yes.
And I have no idea how much time, because there's not even anybody in here with
us. Well, let's see. We've been going for about 25 minutes, so we're about halfway through.
All right,
good. A little more than halfway through.
So let's talk a little Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
and then we'll turn to Gotham, which, of course, also had its premiere, so we can kind of do a little post-game analysis.
I would love to do that, actually. So you seem to be looking forward to Ghost Rider.
Yes.
I am, too.
Yes.
The problem for me with S.H.I.E.L.D., like what they've really struggled with from the start was they're part of the cinematic universe of Marvel, but they're not.
Yes.
Like, Marvel doesn't want to take the TV show seriously.
Well, and because they're not able, you know, like we know there was, maybe still is, an Inhumans movie coming out from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
And so because of that, even though Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of is dealing with Inhumans, we know that it's not dealing with them in any way that's really going to affect the movie.
Right.
And so they really have been kind of relegated to kind of the fringes of the cinematic universe and kind of the Marvel universe itself. And
I remember.
So bringing Ghost Rider in at least potentially signals, you know, there's a difference between bringing Ghost Rider in and, say, last season where they brought in some of the Secret Warriors.
Right.
You know, Ghost Rider is, you know, a Marvel character from the 70s. He's got kind of a cult following.
Yeah.
You know, he's not some really recent creation.
Right. I don't think it suggests that they're going to actually try to integrate TV and movie.
No.
But I think maybe it suggests that they figured out that it's a superhero show.
Yes.
Right? That sort of the initial sort of spy take, which could have worked.
Could have
worked. Maybe, but there was no commitment to it.
I mean, like, well,
they've been struggling to figure out.
Yeah, but it was a spy take that wasn't allowed to really kind of be, you know, a spy organization in the Marvel Universe. Like, they were very much relegated to the edges. And Ghost Rider at least kind of signals that, okay, maybe they're starting to carve out, you know, okay, S.H.I.E.L.D. will get to deal with these things that we're not going to do in the movies.
Maybe so.
And so maybe bringing some of you know, the characters that are not going to be movies or have been in movies that have been unsuccessful and terrible.
No, the first Ghost Rider was awesome.
I haven't seen it, but
Nick Cage's Ghost Rider was terrific.
Yeah.
Right, Richard? You're with me on that.
But you appreciate it on an ironic level, correct?
Yeah, it's one of the funniest superhero movies ever made.
Yeah.
He's not going to be part of the Avengers anymore.
I'm guessing he's not getting an Avengers card.
Who? Nick Cage Ghost Rider or just Ghost Rider in general?
Either one.
Okay.
Nick Cage, anybody?
But
not going to get it.
But so I'm optimistic that maybe it means Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be allowed a little bit more freedom.
I hope so.
Because it feels like, you know, they haven't really been spies in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
They've been a spy organization on the show, kind of operating kind of tangential to it in a lot of ways.
Sure. And it's moving to a later time slot, right?
Yes.
So it's allegedly going to be a little darker.
It's going to be
a little edgier.
That's the producer's claim. Like, that's why we're moving to 10 o'clock. But you got to kind of look. It started at 8, and then it moved to 9, and now it's moving to 10. Those don't seem like...
Are you saying they're just trying to figure out a time slot they can sell it?
I feel like it's being relegated to more and more outside of prime time, which makes me worry that, and the ratings have never been great.
No, true.
Which makes me worry that, like, season 4 is kind of its last gasp.
You know what the show really needs?
Hmm.
Patton Oswalt.
Well, yeah, they don't.
More Patton Oswalt.
Every show needs more Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, but
every show needs more Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. More Patton Oswalt would be good.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit worried that, you know, they're trying to spin the 10 o'clock move because it allows us to be darker. And I'm like, it feels like it's also going to allow you to be canceled.
Right. Yes.
So we'll see. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll kind of rejuvenate itself
maybe
at 10 o'clock.
Maybe it catches fire. But, yeah, I tend to agree.
You know, the writing on the wall doesn't look good. Like, basically, since season 1, there's been kind of questions as to whether or not it's going to be renewed.
It feels like a show that's always just kind of hung on by its fingernails.
Yeah. And so we'll see. You know, maybe... Yeah. You know, maybe part of it is they moved to 10 o'clock. Maybe they kind of see the writing on the wall, and then, you know, it's going to be kind of everything goes.
Yeah, maybe.
And so maybe they'll kind of loosen up, and maybe that'll rejuvenate.
We could hope. But, like, as we've talked our way through the 5 shows,
yes,
there's a lot of maybes.
Yes, there's a lot of maybes.
Like, a lot of – like, on your part, I think this is the difference between you and me. Like, you're being a little more hopefully optimistic.
Yes.
My pessimism is perhaps showing through
That's generally how they are, how we are. I'm generally the more optimistic of the pair.
Yeah, but I would not describe you as optimistic.
I'm a very optimistic person.
But maybe in comparison to me,
yes,
you do come off as somewhat
very when it comes to the superhero show
and optimistic.
Well.
Yeah.
Except for when we're talking about Gotham.
I've come to love Gotham.
And then I think, but you love it again on an ironic level.
Yes, absolutely. You can only love it on an ironic
Your love
level.
For Gotham is not that dissimilar from your love for Melrose Place.
I think that's fair to say. Except I think Melrose Place. I think they knew by the time they brought Heather Locklear on
yes.
and they took that turn, I think the creators knew that, like, Beverly Hills 90210 for 20-somethings
was not
was
work.
A failure, yeah. Right? It was just, it wasn't working. Yes. Like, but if we kind of, you know, juiced it up a little bit,
yeah.
Then all of a sudden we got something we can work with.
Yeah.
Gotham, I can't appreciate in quite the same way because it's clear they don't understand.
Yeah, I'm not sure they understand kind of what they've created.
I think that's too kind. I think yeah. It's pretty clear they don't understand what they've created.
Yeah.
Just watching some of the previews, like, before I watched the show last night,
right.
There was the one titled, Who is Harvey Bullock?
Yes.
Right? And I thought to myself, that's the perfect question for the show, right? Mm-hmm. Because you never know who any of these characters are. Like, Harvey Bullock is the hard-boiled detective. He's the honorable captain.
I know one
He's
thing
the
guy
from, that I know one criminal. Thing from, like, who is yeah. he?
I know one thing from the premiere.
What's that?
Gordon's a bounty hunter.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure they couldn't have mentioned that more if they tried.
No. So he's hunting monsters for money? Because yes. it was hard to discern in the
yes.
the sophisticated
yes.
nuance.
I'm a bounty hunter
for money.
Yeah, I was like, yes, no, we get it. Yes, please stop saying bounty hunter. Yeah.
For
but
money.
We'll get to the actual show in a moment. But yeah.
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 I love that they're talking about and selling the show that this season we have a quote unquote emotionally damaged Jim Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, there's something new, right?
Well, because he's been a model of mental and emotional health.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure when he cold-bloodedly killed that dude, I was like, that man is sane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which, you know, it's nice absolutely. To see that he's gotten over that.
Yeah.
Like, ah, I killed a dude.
In the movies and the comics, though, it's like, that's really his M.O.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah,
but
I killed a dude, but I got over that in 6 months between seasons.
Okay. Yeah, it all changed. Well, all we need is 6 months.
No, I'm a bounty hunter.
All we need is a little title card at the bottom that says six months later, and it's like, any
bam.
Change totally justified. 14 left.
Yes. Okay.
See, it's the left and add. If we're going to start changing the lingo, it's going to be harder for me to keep up with this.
Yeah, it's going to be harder for you to keep up. For you.
So we only have 14 minutes.
We should talk about Gotham.
We
need to talk Gotham. Yeah.
Let me talk. Can I start?
Sure, go ahead.
With what I loved about Gotham.
Yes.
Are we talking about the premiere? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. What I thought it was like warm blanket moments. Like moments where I was like, oh, it's still the Gotham I know and love.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Lucius Fox now works for the Gotham City Police Department, right?
Because that's a lateral move.
Why? Because the plot demands it,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
so that was the first moment. It's literally 5 minutes in the show. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
like
no. There was a plot demand moment.
There was.
Before
there was. Yeah, I've got that one, too. But that's the moment where I'm like, okay, like, I feel that warm, fuzzy Gotham kind of feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're going to just write whatever we want to write because the plot demands it.
Yeah.
Secondly, is you go into the Siren Club.
Yes.
For the first time.
Which I know you were very excited because, of course, Barbara Gordon.
Also known as Pantsless.
Also known as Pantsless because she never is allowed to wear pants.
Yeah, by the producers.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's be clear. We call her Pantsless only to point to sort of the sexism inherent in her character. But the song in the background.
Oh, yeah.
I know what boys like.
Yep.
Like, I thought to myself, well, that's just a bit too on the nose.
A little on the nose.
And I thought to myself.
That's a little bit too Gotham.
That's Gotham, right? So we've got the plot demanding it. We've got two on the nose.
Yeah.
And then the third thing, Butch now works for Penguin again.
Yes.
And for the life of me, no matter how hard I thought about it, I could not remember how they got back together.
It's
so convoluted and so ridiculous and so like built beyond any kind of narrative consistency or
well, it's
kind of
like the
logic.
Same thing, you know, when Captain Barnes shows up, I was like, wasn't he dead?
He seemed pretty dead.
And then I had to look up on episode. I guess they mentioned in like the season finale
that
he was recovering in the hospital.
Okay.
So, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure he was dead.
Yeah.
And
right.
I'm like, so again, kind of like, how did we get here exactly?
But those are my moments. Like, the plot demands it.
Yeah.
Two on the nose. Can't keep all of it straight.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes in, I'm like, this is why I love Gotham.
Yeah.
Because it is such a disaster.
So I had a couple other, you know, the plot demanded it moments.
Yes.
So at the beginning, you have Stegosaurus Man, who, by the way, was my favorite new creation because Stegosaurus is my favorite dinosaur.
Wait a minute. You have a favorite dinosaur?
I do. I love Stegosaurus.
Don't we all have favorite dinosaurs?
No,
yeah.
Says
no.
I've always loved, I do not have a favorite dinosaur.
We had to, like, mold things out of clay and, like, I don't know.
I just don't really care.
No, in,
like,
fifth
why would you
grade,
pick a favorite dinosaur?
Because stegosauruses are cool.
You
but
pick a favorite food because, like, that's the food you want
to
eat.
Can we get
eat,
back to Gotham?
Why do you pick a favorite
back
dinosaur?
Back to Gotham.
But, like, a stegosaurus is just like an herbivore, right? He's just, like, munching on dandelions.
He's got the spikes. Anywho.
All right, go on.
So, you know, we open on him sort of ransacking the cabinet.
Right.
And then I'm watching it, and we get to the scene where they're talking about, I was like, well, you know, we found the pills that he was looking for and whatnot. I was like, there's no way you would know what pills he was looking for. He was ransacking a cabinet.
Right.
One fell on the floor that there's a long lingering shot at, but I'm pretty sure the one on the floor is not what he's looking for.
Right.
And then he gets hit by a bus. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So there's no way that we actually know
right.
that. But, you know, we have to know because otherwise the plot doesn't make sense.
Right.
Same thing when Gordon confronts Fish Mooney. He's like, so you're getting pills because you're sick. And I'm like, Gordon doesn't know she's sick. The viewer knows she's sick because we saw it. But there's no way that Gordon would know that.
But that's because you don't respect Jim Gordon, who is now not just a cop.
But a bounty hunter.
But a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
For money.
But I'm sitting there like, yeah.
No, I'm doing this for money.
Yeah, because the audience knows
right.
that she's sick.
That's like
But I'm just like, I was, yeah. So, you know, for me, last night's Gotham premiere hit a new low in terms of writing. Because I'm like, yeah, these things... Like, nobody saw, because, like, the pharmacist comes around the corner, and the dinosaur guy is already done ransacking the cabinet.
Right.
So there's no way anyone knows what he was looking for.
Right.
But we have to know what he was looking for, because otherwise the plot doesn't work.
So that's the only way that Jim can know that Fish Mooney is sick.
Right? Which, it's because, like this, and this, because...
Right, so it's not just one bad link.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's like a bad link built on another, built on another,
exactly.
built
I was like,
on another.
Oh, my God.
The length of bad link.
It right. is. It's it right. is. I'm like, this makes... I'm like, this plot, in a way that... Yeah. You know, Gotham always has sort of been barely held together with, like, right. tissue paper and glue.
I think of it as, like, snot and tissue.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's how I think of it.
Even less so last night. I'm like, yeah, no, no. The writers know that he was looking for those pills, but nobody in the show actually would know
that. It's a disaster. But then let me say something that really surprised me.
Yeah.
The show opens with Jim going to find Lee, right? Mm-hmm. Who left pregnant, you know, with their child.
Yes. Well, and then she lost the child. That was established in, like, a bit of dialogue.
Then he gets down south.
Yes.
And he finds Lee in the arms of another man.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, all right, that cannot possibly be, because that represents Lee making a reasonable, thoughtful decision, which nobody ever does in Gotham.
Yeah, no.
Like, of all the times she could have left Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
Right? Of all the things he's done
for
that would
all
make you say,
reasons.
Like, I think it's time for me to go.
Yeah.
Like, now?
Yeah.
Like,
well, he's been such a pillar of sanity up until now.
Right, right.
Is like, that, yeah. No, what drove me...
Now you've gone too far,
What
Jim.
Drove me is that Jim is standing full on in the window.
Yeah.
And you see her come, and she looks dead straight ahead.
Yeah.
But doesn't see him, because, of course, she can't see him, because the plot demanded it.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
no, that...
And you got to imagine, like, the sigh of relief as she left the set and was like...
Oh, she's coming back because that
she's her, not. No, really.
Oh yeah, she is. No, because her whole relationship, the guy she's dating, is a Falcone. Is a member. I think it's a Falcone. He's a member of a Gotham mob family. Like, this is all. Yeah.
Now,
no. Lee is going to be
now. You've pulled me back to Gotham, right? I thought, okay, Lee has finally become a sane, reasonable character.
No,
she is
like
not.
Like any other sort of sucking void.
Yes.
Lee will be pulled back into the sucking void that is Gotham.
Nice.
Though it is always nice to see Jamie Chung getting work.
You think?
I always like to see, like, someone from the real world that kind of made it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, it's Jamie Chung.
Yeah.
She's Valerie Vale.
Yeah, she's okay.
Yeah, but there was the moment when she walked in and she's wearing the skirt, or, like, the coat, and no pants. I'm like, oh, look, it's another pantsless.
Another pantsless. Well,
so,
but she's a professional.
But, yeah.
So that's okay. Pantsless, the original, is bad because she's just sort of a dilettante.
Well, it's
she's
nice to see that her recovery's going well.
Yes. Because,
you know, she was on the border of, like, insanity and was kind of getting better last season. It's nice to see she's a model of stability this season.
Well, speaking of which, like, if you want to talk about, like, women being portrayed poorly.
Yes.
You want to talk about Poison Ivy?
Oh, let's talk about
because
Poison Ivy.
Because this was – number one, I was glad they brought young Poison Ivy back so she could kind of have, you know, a curtain call
her
farewell, before she left.
Yes, Claire Foley, I think, is the actress's name.
Okay. Goodbye, Claire.
So she had her – I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, look.
They actually gave her a couple lines.
They did.
I was surprised. I assumed we would just see the new Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I kind of thought that was the whole point of, like, the 6 months. Like, you know, that
right.
Marv, the anti-Fountain of Youth dude, you know, was going to – yeah. I mean, well, that's what Fish called
him. Oh, I know.
He's like a fountain of youth, except in reverse. I'm not, thank you for explaining what was clear from the visuals.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the show.
So for people that don't know, again, spoilers, but the young Poison Ivy is going to be sort of partially physically grown up by the touch of Marv, anti-Fountain of Youth dude.
Yeah, into a sex pot, I'm guessing?
Into a 19-year-old body, but she's still 14, being played by a 28-year-old actress.
That seems problematic to me. Like, there's a lot of different ages kind of all
mixed
up in there
in ways
that make me uncomfortable.
Here's something that's really kind of interesting and problematic. And I mentioned to you that in, like, the DC Comics this month, they had, like, a little text page of describing each of the characters.
Yes.
And they had, like, one on Poison Ivy.
Right.
Which the line, you know, the line was, the series will also catch up with the future Poison Ivy, who, after an encounter with a monster from Indian Hill, finds herself reborn as a young woman who's harnessed the full power of her charms.
Okay.
What's interesting about that is that the original tagline had another sentence after that.
Which was?
Which was, who sets her sights on Bruce Wayne. So the idea was that she, as a 14-year-old in a 19-year-old's body, portrayed by a 28-year-old, was going to seduce, like, the 13-year-old Bruce Wayne.
You know, this makes my head hurt
it
a
does.
Little bit. Like,
what
trying
I found
to
really
understand
is,
how many
is
levels are wrong or built into this.
The description with her setting her sights on Bruce Wayne was the one that came out and kind of started the firestorm of, you know, this seems really, you know, kind of dodgy in terms of gender and sexuality.
Creepy.
But they took that line out in the text page in the comics.
So
like,
it's all better.
So it's all better. Yeah, well, it's not really much better.
I can't imagine that it is.
The only thing that I found that was more heinous than that was I found an article on Cinema Blend talking about the original actress playing Poison Ivy, where they said, while Claire Foley did grow even messed up and villain-like, she's hardly using the gifts that God gave her at this point. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Keeping it classy, Cinema Blend.
Yeah, that is not.
They're very excited about the change, I should point out.
Okay. I have to say, the Poison Ivy thing looks terrible. Mooney back is just bad.
It's just bad.
Like, when she was off the show, it marginally improved the show. Like,
also, I'm not
a compelling
villain. I'm not sure how Gotham has somehow ruined Man-Bat for me.
Yeah, that was
like, dude with, like, I think he has a garbage bag on him and claws. I'm like, seriously?
Flapping out the window.
Is this the version of Man-Bat? Because I'm like, this is.
I thought the best moment was Gordon had him by the ankles out the window, and he's like flapping.
Oh yeah,
away.
He's flapping just, his like, wings, just, but you know, his giant bat wings not strong enough to pull away from Gordon.
Well, Gordon is a bounty hunter.
He's a bounty hunter.
I'm doing this for money. Yeah.
That was the other thing I love is at the beginning you have, you know, Barnes, the police captain.
Yeah.
Who's basically saying, like, no, just a few of these guys have been brought in.
Yeah.
You know, by the bounty hunter. Everyone else has been brought in by the cops.
Yeah.
And then the mayor gets up there, and he's like, hey, anybody who brings them in deserves to get paid. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that is not how things work in a realistic government.
Yeah, well, you've made a big qualification there that disqualifies.
The other moment that I loved is when Penguin shows up and basically tells everyone that Mooney is like, because we should all listen to Penguin.
There
he's
was
a bastion of reliability.
Because the show has no moral center.
No.
Like, it's now kind of
Jim
drifting
Gordon's
towards
the moral center.
No, it's more Bollock now, though, right? I do this for money. Mm-hmm. So my favorite
also
moment.
I found my bar.
Yeah,
don't mess up my bar, because I drink now.
That's right.
Because I'm a bounty hunter who drinks.
I do it for the money.
Because this is character development in Gotham.
Money.
I've got money and booze.
I love when Penguin goes to Riddler for advice.
Yes.
Because Riddler's like such a criminal mastermind. He can help him figure out how to deal with Fish Mooney.
Yes.
And he has no advice whatsoever, except for the end when he says, and I quote, remember.
Oh, yeah.
Penguins eat fish.
Yes.
And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, how is that good constructive criminal advice? It would be like you telling a student writing a paper, write a good paper.
Yes.
It doesn't get you very far.
Yes. Oh, you want to kill Fish Mooney? Well, remember, you should kill Fish Mooney.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, Joe, I'm trying
to
remember
is, by the way, you're not a penguin and she's not a fish.
No,
but
no,
penguins
neither
eat
of those
fish.
Things. Yes. You also, I like the fact that he apparently was able to do that origami.
Yes.
Because that's apparently in Riddler's set of skills.
Yeah.
You know. Criminal psychopath, good with riddles, good with origami.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he has to be.
And speaking of stupid criminals.
Yes.
The Court of Owls.
Oh, my God. No.
Absolutely laughable.
The other thing is they're apparently calling them the Court of the Owls, which I'm like, that's not their name.
Whatever you want to call them. They're not particularly intimidating. They look stupid.
They look stupid. Gee, I wonder if that Crowley guy is going to be significant.
Do you think so?
Gee, the one guy they mentioned. The
guy's giggling at the meeting.
Yeah, giggling at the meeting. And of course, you know, Alfred's like, what is your name, sir? What is your name? Because we have to make sure the audience knows who you are.
I love that the butler goes to all these meetings with it.
Apparently. Yeah. Also, the butler thinks it's... Yep. Yeah,
I've got a big board meeting. Alfred, come on.
Yeah. No, what I like the fact is that Alfred, after the meeting, is like, well, you know, you did just challenge, you know, the evil guys trying to kill you. That was really stupid. I'm like, you were there.
Yeah. Well, can
you
I say,
seem to be behind this
if
idea.
If Bruce has all this information, this seems like a weird approach.
Well, because he doesn't actually have any information. This is clearly a bluff. He doesn't. He knows that the Court of Owls are in there, but he's trying to draw them out, which worked really well for him.
Nothing's clear.
Because, again, third season in a row that I'm pretty sure Alfred's going to be in the hospital.
Right. But the idea that it's all unclear and we have no idea where it's going and it's a complete disaster is actually not a terrible place to end.
Yes. Yes.
So, like, maybe, you know, this isn't the end of Gotham.
No. On even more mashed up. Nothing's ever going to kill this show if it hasn't been killed already.
No, and undoubtedly we will continue talking about it.
Yes.
In future episodes.
Yes.
So remember, you can catch us on the mashup 2 to 3 Mondays on
CougarRadio.net.
Thank you. And
on the podcast.
Even More Mashed Up, which is going to be posted somewhere.
Somewhere.
In the internet limbo.
It's a series of terms.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.